This programme was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee. Older Voices is a programme made by CRY 104 FM on the lives of older people living in the Ballymacota and Ladysbridge area. Their stories are told in their own voices. In this episode, we speak with Brendan Ahern from Ladysbridge. Brendan begins by recalling his early life, living in Ladysbridge with his grandfather and his early school days.
Yes, I went to school in Ladysbridge, not too often, but I just went anyway, you know.
And did you finish school or did you leave earlier?
I finished when I was 13. We got nothing because we weren't smart enough. I was raised by my grandfather and I had to go to work that time, now at about 8 years of age, you know, tinning bait. I was working with Hearties and Powers. That time when you get your tea and you get your dinner and supper and you get your few bob on the weekend, you know, all that kind of thing. And then, of course, I had to go to school. And after school, then I'd be back. I think there was 9 shops in Ladysbridge, as far as I know. There was Dunn's, Lee's, Woodridge's. You had McCarthy's confectionery shop, right? You had TD Shock. You had Stacia O'Donnell. You had Sonny Hayes's. And you had North Evans. And I was, but it was a confectionery shop. I always get the bones going to school for the happiness. You had the school and you had the church. You had 4 pubs. You had Stanton's, Neil's, Shanahan's and Motherway's. Now we have 1 pub, 1 shop, no school, and we also had a cobbler there and a saddler.
Of course. And when did it change? When did things
start? That's a changeover period of time. Did McCarthy's kind of went, I think they went back to West Cork, and then of course Lovewood's Arthur died in that shop closed as well. Then the Lees kind of died out as well, you know, and then you had TD and Stacia O'Donnell at the time, Sonny Hayes closed the shop as well that time. Then Nora Evan died, not a mess, and then Leon's died. And like them shops went, but then the supermarkets will have to come in. All my shops were gone, then all the small shops were gone, which was a pity.
Immigration is an issue for today's young people, but it was also the same for Brendan in the 1950s. He remembers emigrating to England as a young man and the different way of life he encountered in London. He speaks about working there and the pace of life.
I was in Chiswick in London. I was just about 18 and a half.
And how did you get there?
By boat, by the Innisfallon.
And what must it have been like for an 18-year-old lad from Ladysbridge to get on the boat going to England?
That was enough. But mind you, I wasn't far out to sea when I loved the boat. And of course, we could have all our drink in the boat and all that. And then my mother had somebody to collect me at the other side in Fishguard and bring me up to the house. So I spent about 2 years there. I got a job inside in a factory making a thing called luggage cases, right? Which was ordered by people, Whites were their names, and they ran the company. And I was there for 12 months, they asked me help in there, the heat got too much, and I got a disease called bronchitis. And so I had to pull out that cell and work in another place then with Chrysler's Oil Company, which used to make bolts and nuts and all that kind of thing. So I used to be putting the oils into the machines, huh? And I had to come out of there again because the oil was affecting my health. So I was advised to come home.
And how old were you when you got back then?
I was about 21.
21. And did you come straight back to Ladies Bridge?
I came straight back to Ladies Bridge and back working for Benedictus again.
Did you feel happier about the whole thing?
I felt about up in the air, delighted with myself.
So what must it have been like being in London in 1959?
Hectic, but I hated it. I think it's the worst period of my life that I went to England. It was all houses, people running, racing, right? And, you know, there was no bit of relaxation there.
So the pace of life was really, really,
really
fast.
The pace of life was desperate.
So you were a true home bird, really?
A true home bird, yeah.
The social scene for the young Brendan involved dancing and show bands. Brendan has a great love for the show band era of the 1960s, with a particular favourite being the Miami Show Band, three of whose members were killed in 1975 in County Down. He also loves Art Supple from Gertrude, who started singing in the local village hall and soon found fame singing with the Art Supple and the Victor's Band. It was a perilous thing sometimes walking home from a dance late at night.
We danced the Gallo Lask Kelly Band in Ladies Bridge and Bridie Gallagher and the Miami Show Band was there. And of course, Art Supple, whatever band he was playing at that, was the famous man in East Carter and Martin. He's still famous.
He is, he's still going strong.
Oh, yes, Art's going very strong. And when he's local, I always go to the dance there. We used to walk from Ladies Bridge to Ballycotton.
You'd walk?
Home, yeah.
And how long used that take you?
You leave after dance about 3 o'clock, well, you cost it a pin, and if you beat up something, like I could take it morning.
You'd have to walk her home first.
Yeah, well, you'd have to walk, but I would pick one that would be near, like you would want to be walking too far. You'd have to go, and she'd be near home, like, and you'd, you know, and you'd be out home around 5:30. I got a desperate fright one night coming from Ballycotton.
Did you?
And the Bog Road, yeah. So just daylight. And I could see this fella coming in the distance. So I came within about 20 yards of me. Next thing I see him towards the fist and he walked straight from me. So I stood my ground anyway and I was shivering. And I told my fist and when I stood like this, you know. And the next thing he heard, suddenly he went down and back up for Ballycotton. And I was grand anyway. I was just looking back at him going, Christ, I was afraid he'd come after me. Next day, I seen another flat devil talk to me. Oh, Jesus, right? So, what was it with the bike scout? He was lost.
Sick.
And all the morning, he was lost. So, I told him where to go. Because I see the camp. Just as I came into Shannon, you to Cratty's shop. Right? And your Cratty's shop. Squat calf came flying on the corner and stopped. And just immediately meet any men over the road. I said, I did got an awful fright. You're lucky, he said. He escaped to the middle hospital in Cork. Right? So, I said, he did come over for me, but I said, he stood me alone, he backed off. What's the name? And when out of the cottonary, and I seen the paper the following day, it was 12 o'clock that day for the caption.
Brendan tells us about how he met his lovely wife and how he worked up the courage to chat to her for the first time.
Her grandmother lived in Gary Vaux before she went to America, and she came to see her grandmother's place. And then Michael Bailey is also a cousin of hers in Ladies Bridge, so she was staying with him. I went out in the buildings, putting down base of house for riding homes in Little Island, and I came back from I think it's Kinmare. Yeah, I think it's Kinmare it was. And I went to the Mother West pub and I was down at the bottom of it and I looked up and I see this one under the clock above. She was with Michael Bailey, right? And I was scratching my head and saying, how am I going to get up there? And I mean, she grew up near anyway, so she would like Marilyn Monroe on the corner when I see her. So I was nice and look at her and he'd take a chance, so I took the chance and I made a date with her for the following night. So I was nice and look at her if I wouldn't go to a proctor properly and ask her, and that's it. And I asked her out and I eventually got out and we went to Belmore Court. Then she was home for a week, so we went out and lived every night. And then she went back to America, and then she came back after a few months. When she got her next holiday, and we were out again, and then we eventually spoke, and we said, like, it wasn't much of a way to be courting. She in America here. So she eventually came home. Then we rented the place, and kind of we were living together for about some red months. So we decided then that, like, that was not the way to live. Right, so we decided we'd go and get married.
And where did you get married?
Got married in Chuck and Lady's Bridge, where her grandmother was married.
Oh, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And did anybody come over from America for the wedding?
Her aunts came over, but her father was taken into the hospital 2 days before she got married.
And what year was this?
1988.
Brendan talks to us about what life is like for an older person living in rural Ireland. Brendan gives us some good advice for modern living.
Community life is gone. You go down to the village, everybody passes there don't even know you because there's so many houses that have been built. When I go down there, we look if I meet maybe one or two in the first of a chat with me. In my young days, the door was opened. Everybody came in and out, had a cup of tea. On a Sunday morning in my house, the door would have to be opened at 6:30. Because a man by the name of Tom Bett would come up. He'd be going to mass for 8:00. And he'd come in and he'd sit down, he'd sleep in the chair. Until we get up and he'd have a cup of tea and he'd opt in for 8:00 mass.
And do you feel older people might be isolated now very much?
I think older people are isolated now, you know. Nobody, you know, well, we still have a few people calling and younger again called because my daughter's young, they say they'll come in to chat with them. Like, but I mean, I think if my daughter were gone, like, I don't think anybody'd come or visit us.
And how would you think, you know, that what could we do to try and improve that?
I don't think we can do anything about it now because that's the way that's the way the younger generation is brought up. It's like, you know, it's all go, rush. The pace of life has changed. Everybody is running, nobody walks. There's an awful lot of houses built around us now, right? And they're just passing. They head down, nobody says hello or anything like that like before. And that's a fact, like, that nobody talks in the village. And even now, if we're going to a pub, there's a group here, and there's a group there, and there's a group. And then I think, I also think when we get to a certain age, we go over the 70s, like, people don't want to be bothered with you.
And it's a shame because you've an awful lot to give, really.
Yeah, it is. Now, a lot of young lads, when first I know that, just come up to my house for parties and all that. They all said, oh, Brendan, how are you? In fairness, they all said, oh, Brendan. But to go and say it's been a quarter and all in the conversation, out. Everybody is now away. So if we're going to a supermarket, nobody shopping, people are running and they're bumpy off again.
If you had advice now to give to younger people today, what would you say to younger people, you know, that are starting off in life now?
I would say, relax and have a chat. If you meet older people, you'll be surprised what you'll learn.
We would like to thank Brendan Ahern for taking the time to speak with us and for sharing his memories and stories from his life. And now we have Brendan's favourite song from Art Supple from the Showband era. Older Voices was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee and in association with the Ballymacoda and Ladiesbridge Historical Society. Older Voices was produced and narrated by Orla Reardon and edited by Tomás O'Keefe. Older Voices is a Community Radio Yall production.